now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Well, new day, same discussion that is going to be had. It is Thursday, September 5th, 2024. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at _Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
Tired?
I agree with you. More mentally than physically.
Yes.
I think that's where I'm at.
You know what everybody
moment.
Should do? Come have a beer with me tonight at Hampline Brewing at 7 p.m.
That sounds like a
we
great...
all deserve a beer. Play some trivia.
Blow off some steam. Blow off a little bit of steam. Do you have any beer selections there at Hampline that you should suggest?
They got
suggest?
A ton of good new ones.
Okay.
Dude.
A
ton
okay.
of good new ones.
I've never been to Hampline.
Oh,
I
it's
need
great.
To go over there.
It's great.
Tonight, man, blow off a little steam from this Penny Hardaway news. Maybe,
I'll see you there.
Maybe I'll show up. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. You know what we're talking about. We have anonymously sourced letters. We have coaches fired with the Memphis basketball program. I don't think there's any coincidence with what we've seen the past 2 days. Just to be very clear with you, this is not good. There's no way that you can try to put a positive spin on this thing. And also, there is no way at all that you can try to insulate Penny Hardaway from this. This is bad. Serious programs do not behave this way. Serious programs don't have things happen like this. But we'll talk about it in a second. But we have Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock to talk about that. Kyron Samuels at 6 o'clock, talk some college football. Make sure you check out our new podcast, by the way. I know it's a shameless plug right here, but G5 Classified. We had Barry Odom week after, a few days really, after UNLV went on the road to go beat Houston by 20. Make sure you go check that out. It was very fun.
Wow, Gabe, I can't believe you're plugging things on this show. One more time, though, for people that didn't hear. Hampline, 7 p.m.
Shameless plugs all over the place, but we have the Blitz at 6:30. We'll do a trip around the NFL at 5:30, and I'm going to give you my predictions because we do have the first night of NFL football tonight. I mean, there is positive news today. There is some positive things we can talk about. Chiefs versus Ravens. I think everybody's excited for that, but we do have to go ahead and hop into it. Now, something's going on. We know that. There's been 9 coaches that have been let go of the staff this offseason for Memphis basketball, Penny Hardaway's staff. And it's September now, and 4 coaches were fired all at once. And today we get the news that there was an anonymously sourced letter that was received by Penny Hardaway on August 27th. That letter has been leaked and now turned into the NCAA for review. Now, among the allegations in this anonymously sourced letter, it alleges that Penny Hardaway authorized a $30,000 payment to DeAndre Williams with Jermaine Johnson, who's supposedly still on the staff right now, although he was rumored to be part of the staff cuts. But apparently Jermaine Johnson gave the payment to coach Kenneth Roy, who was DeAndre's handler. It alleges arrangements for an apartment and a $60,000 payment to Emmanuel Aycott, who ultimately got to campus, stepped foot in the Lori Walton facility, then went to Western Kentucky with Rick Stansberry. Then it also alleges, and this is what the NCAA has got a keen eye on right this second, it alleges academic counselors, one academic counselor and her sister, being appointed to do academic assignments for Malcolm Dandridge and 3 other players. Now, if you think that there is no coincidence between 4 firings yesterday and then this anonymously sourced letter being leaked and sent to the NCAA today, think again! This is not coincidence. This is how these things work. We've been through this a lot, too, here in the University of Memphis with this basketball program. We know how these things operate. We know how the NCAA operates. Now, my first question, and this is the main question we're going to have to ask ourselves as we get into the season, latter half of this offseason. And I asked it yesterday, believe it or not, to Jason Munns, and he had a more positive answer than I have right this second after seeing the news of the anonymously sourced letter being leaked and sent to the NCAA. Does Penny Hardaway have enough allies right now? I have to question that. 4 of his main allies, or at least 3 of his main allies, were fired off of the staff yesterday. Most of the people that he worked with in the athletic department under Laird Veach are now gone. He has burned a lot of bridges with these coaches over the years. There's been some internal strife, personal struggle with these guys, a little bit of power struggle. Does he have enough allies? I need you to ask yourself that question. With the lack of success that we saw last year, with all of the dysfunction we have seen percolate through this program year after year, the distractions year after year, are there still people that are consistently in his corner that were there this entire time? I have questions about that. The tenure is becoming very, very struggle-like. There's a lot of struggle and a lot of internal strife and a lot of things that are being hidden and trying to be slid under the rug. But I think this is where I fall with this. I knew that there was always the reason that the firings were made, at least a part of the reason, because I think there's a lot of other reasons. Part of the reason that these firings were made yesterday was because of the NCAA investigation, maybe some mitigating factors, trying to get rid of people who were on campus when all these things happened. But I do think, in general, Ed Scott and the athletic department turning over an anonymously sourced letter, also leaking it, but turning it over to the NCAA means two things. One, they're trying to mitigate by being upfront with the NCAA, trying to do everything they can. Even though the NCAA was not looking into a $30,000 payment to DeAndre Williams or a $60,000 payment in an apartment for Emmanuel Acott, they're trying to be upfront to try to mitigate certain, you know, things from a notice of allegations, the punishments that could potentially come down. The other part of this, and I think this is the most important thing, and this could answer at least part of the question about the allies that Penny Hardaway has. I think they're making it clear to Penny Hardaway that the conversation is open to go find another leader of this program. You usually don't see these things leaked to the NCAA unless you want to fire with cause or you want to put pressure on a certain coach. And I want to be clear about this. It's not surprising that Ed Scott comes in and makes this clear to Penny Hardaway. Ed Scott came into this situation in this athletic department in a way different manner, in a way different spot than Laird Veach ever took over. Laird Veach came in 2019. Penny Hardaway had just got done recruiting a number one recruiting class. There was season ticket sales going through the roof. And Laird Veach, for the most part, was probably told behind the scenes he's kind of untouchable right now. Don't mess with him. Let him cook. We're coming off a Tubby era that was just miserable. No one could get in the seats. We were losing money. We were in shambles. So don't mess with this guy. Now Ed Scott comes in, and that's completely flipped on its head. Football is seeing a lot more success. Basketball program just got off a year where they completely folded and butts were not in the seats down the stretch of the season. They're running into NCAA investigation after NCAA investigation. They're clearly just dysfunctional as hell behind the scenes with their coaching staff in general. Too many guys on staff. They have to make some budget cuts with that staff. So Ed Scott's being very clear and intentional. Hey, man, I know that you were untouchable before, but there's a new sheriff in town. So this is very, very frustrating. This is bad. And what I will say, if you ever want to get back to where this program was in 2008, and I know that we're a far cry from that, you have to start acting better. You have to get the dysfunction and the problems out of this program. Rid yourself of them. I will say, there is a way forward, and I think Ed Scott is trying to show a way forward to Penny Hardaway. But that has to be followed step by step, or eventually this program could be finding a new coach.
It's exhausting. It's been exhausting. This has now been 6 years of basically nonstop drama with either the NCAA, with the coaching staff, the player turnover, the team not liking each other. We've really had one true year of not much drama, the team getting along, no NCAA investigations going on, and it led to what I would say is their most successful season thus far. I understand that they didn't win an NCAA tournament game that year, but again, we went over it yesterday. You were one blown time out away from, you know, probably making a run. But I think that we can all agree, though, that that was the most fun season. Like, it was it was so much fun. You rooted for that team. It really felt like they were playing for the city, playing for each other. And everything just made sense that year. Outside of that year, and then, you know, the year where he actually got an NCAA tournament win, it's just been chaos. And it's been disappointing. And we talked about it yesterday. The drama is outweighing the success. And I've seen a lot, I've seen the sentiment out there today on social media where it's like, listen, this is bad, the payment of players and all that stuff. But, you know, paying of players has happened in college sports and athletics constantly. It happens here. It happens here. All these schools deal with the NCAA. All these schools deal with the NCAA. But every single school that people would mention, the Michigan States, the Duke, the Kansas, all North Carolina, what have those schools had? Success.
Yeah.
They've had success in the NCAA tournament. They're not missing tournaments every single year. They're winning conference championships. They're winning national championships. Their success outweighs the drama.
Yeah.
It makes it worth it. I don't think this is worth it right now. All of us want Penny Hardaway to work out. Every single one of us. If you are a Memphian, if you a transplant born and raised, Penny Hardaway is a special figure in this city. Always will be, no matter how this shakes out, always will be. But when he got hired, there was real hope and energy back in this program. Because people got to remember, Tubby, it was dead. It was dead. You can hear it from me. I had to film all of the games. I was there. I was sitting on the court. It was dead. It was like a retirement home in the FedEx Forum. You could hear a pin drop. It was dead.
Yeah, I was there.
And when Penny brought it back, there was so much hope. There was so much excitement. And I was ready to go to war against the NCAA. Yeah, Wiseman, did I think that stuff was, did I think they played it wrong? Yeah, I thought they played it wrong. But guess what?
Penny's back. I was in that corner ready to go fight the NCAA.
Number one class, we're going to war. We're going to make this thing work. It's now been 6 years of having to do that.
Yep.
And it's exhausting. We all want Penny Hardaway to work out. But at some point, this amount of dysfunction, this amount of drama, dealing with the NCAA like this, at some point, it's not going to become worth it.
My opinion on this program under Penny Hardaway has never changed in the fact that I think Penny making it work out is the best thing going forward. You have your legend. You have a guy who can speak on behalf of the city. You have a guy who can speak on behalf of the University of Memphis nationally. I think making it work out is the best thing ever. You don't want to see the celebrity, the you know, absolute legend in your city, you know, turn into, you know, from a personality standpoint, from a persona standpoint, turn into dust. You don't want to see people start to bag on that guy and dislike him going into the future because of what he's done at the University of Memphis. So I still think that the best thing for this program is to make it work out.
I agree.
But
it's what you hope happens.
To your point, and I have a friend by the name of Carl Reed. I've had him on the show several times. Used to coach football at Lutheran North, won a couple of national, or not national, but state championships in the state of Missouri on the football side, ran the triple option or whatever, wing tee, whatever
it was,
run the rock enthusiast, and he's been on the show before. He always says, and I agree with him, are your problems outweighing your production, or is your production outweighing your problems? Which way is this going to go? Do you have your ability outweighing all of the things that are happening away from your particular sport, or are those problems engulfing you and the job that you can do when you're actually coaching or playing? And right now, I think it's very clear. All of the issues that have perpetuated under Penny Hardaway are engulfing his ability to do his job, and for a lot of people in the athletic department to do their job.
Right.
And at that point, I think it's right now, with the new sheriff in town, Ed Scott, to make it very clear to Penny Hardaway the intentions of what he wants to happen with this program going forward. It's painful, and it may get more painful. I'm going to warn you of that ahead of time. But at the same time, make no mistake about it. This is the right message from an athletic director who's trying to make his mark right this second. I have no issue from what I am seeing from Ed Scott and this athletic department trying to make it clear to Penny Hardaway their intentions and what this thing's supposed to look like.
Totally agree. I think painful is a good word to use because it is painful because you want it to work out so bad. Every single person in the city wants it to work out. They want Penny Hardaway to have success as the University of Memphis head coach. The son coming back to save the program.
Yes.
Everybody wants that to work out. Nobody wants a repeat of Larry Finch. Nobody. Because that was so bad. It was so bad how that ended. But I think what's so frustrating is that all of this has been self-inflicted wounds by Penny Hardaway. Like, when you look at that letter, it's just the inability to be able to manage people has been so disappointing.
Very.
Because it was one thing that I was like, Penny's back, people are going to rally around him, and they're gonna move forward with this thing. But it's been the inability to manage people correctly has been the biggest thing that he hasn't been able to get over. It's over-promising guys, whether it's players or coaches.
And
making your own rules. Dude, just
right.
Thinking that you were bulletproof, which to a certain degree you are because you're at the University of Memphis and your name's Penny Hardaway. Yeah, that insulates you a little bit.
Yes.
But to your point, when you don't have as many allies as you used to, when your guys are now being fired, and you are now, this is a potential third NCAA investigation or so that you're going to be dealing with. Yeah, the new AD is going to come in. Because the AD's job is to protect the University of Memphis.
And the athletics department.
It's not to protect Penny Hardaway. And at some point, if the drama is going to eat the program alive, which, to be quite honest, it has the possibility to do that, Ed Scott's going to protect the program.
Yeah. He needs
Period.
To. That's his job.
And that's the right decision.
And
no matter how painful it may be.
Even more so than just the personal relationship part of this thing, the lack of trust that seems to be percolating through that program over the years is nuts. It feels like there's rat after rat after rat trying to turn in Penny Hardaway for certain things. And I get that when you feel spited behind closed doors and you know where the bodies are buried, sometimes you feel the need to do that. But clearly, this type of anonymously sourced letter is from someone in the city of Memphis. It's from somebody very close to the program. Throwing it out there. There's a very vicious, and I really mean that, vicious lack of trust from people in that athletic department, from people around the city that deal with Penny Hardaway on a day-to-day basis, coaches. There's been a lack of trust there year to year, or else you would have some continuity with that coaching staff. But the lack of trust is probably the most disappointing thing, even more so than just personal relationships. And I know they're sort of hand in hand, but there's just a obvious lack of trust with what Penny Hardaway has tried to build over 6 years.
Blind loyalty to Penny Hardaway from a university standpoint or a fan standpoint is not the right way to go.
No.
It's not the right way to go. Again, we all want it to work out. And to be quite honest, it still can work out. There's still a path there.
Well,
and that's why I think Ed Scott's doing the right thing.
There's a path being laid out.
Yes.
But you have to follow it.
You have to follow
word
it.
For damn word.
Yes.
There can be no straying from the path.
Well,
or you know what happens.
We opened this conversation with saying, does your success outweigh the drama? You make it to the NCAA tournament this year, and you have success within your conference. All right. Winning heals most things.
Sure.
Winning heals most things.
Yes.
But do we have 100% faith that they're going to win things? That's the problem. And that's the problem here. Is that there's just been so... I have gotten the sense from people, even the biggest Penny fans, it's just like, come on, man. It's so tiring. It's exhausting. We all want to be right. We all dug in when Penny got hired and people said, he doesn't have enough experience. He skipped the line. Y'all did Tubby wrong, this, that, and the other thing. And then he had number one recruiting classes and you were like,
suck it. You're throwing the middle finger to
like,
those people.
Middle fingers
then
up.
The middle
you
finger to the
Tennessee
NCAA.
At Tennessee, bring it.
Yes.
Won an NCAA tournament game. See, he's right. Then NIT success. Hey, that wasn't the best season, but we got an NIT championship.
Yes.
Conference tournament championship. Boom. Put it on the resume.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 years of pain.
I mean,
it's tough.
What really strikes me, though,
you don't want to admit that you're wrong.
What's insane to me is like I have been accused, we had Jeff Calkins on the show. Was that Tuesday? I think that was Tuesday. I think it was to start this week.
I thought it was last Thursday.
It may have been last Thursday. Who knows?
A lot has happened with basketball.
But I have been accused of being negative about this program
over
the past year or so since the complete dysfunction of last year. And I hate to say it, a lot of my concerns about him building a program and not a team and him having non-negotiables with his staff and his players, a lot of those things have come to be completely true. He can fix those things. He can potentially fix those ills as long as he is still going to be the coach of this team heading into this year and next year. But at the same time, a lot of the things that have concerned me over the past year and a half have come to light and been exactly what I thought they were. And I don't want to be right. Like, that's the thing. I didn't want to be right about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end of the day, I was. And I hope people understand where I'm coming from when I am critical of this regime and what has happened in this tenure, in this era. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see my words come to be true. But they have every step of the way. Well, now, and here's the other thing that I really can't. I was wrong. We were wrong about this. We thought this offseason was quiet. We thought this offseason...
Man, we were so close.
Oh, my gosh.
We're so close.
The distractions are being limited. We're fine. It's been great. He's got all his players on campus in June. And, you know, the coaches are here. He's got his coaching staff figured out. There may be a couple more hires. Nolan Smith and Mike Davis. Maybe they'll come through. This is now, because of the last 2 days... become the most distracting offseason in Penny Hardaway's tenure. And you can definitely back this up, Connor. That is saying something. That is saying something. To have the most distracting offseason under Penny Hardaway when you had the James Wiseman thing and you had all these different things, Mikey Williams and over the Amani Bates, all these different things. This is the most distracting offseason leading into season we have had under Penny Hardaway. And I thought for a while it was going to be quiet, but maybe it was too damn quiet. It was too damn quiet on the front end, and we should have known something was
honestly, we need to power rank, maybe bring back a top five, because I don't know if it's the most distracting. It's been the most just like, I can't believe it all feels like it's falling apart right now.
Yeah.
And again, you start winning some basketball games, all of a sudden that thing gets put back together very quickly. And the saving grace of all of this is I do think that Penny has one of his better teams this year.
I
still think that they could win some basketball games.
Sure.
But I think that David Cobb put it pretty well yesterday. He was like, listen, with Penny, you know you're going to win 20 games.
Yeah.
The problem is 20 games every – is that enough? And so far, with the lack of postseason success, I would say no.
And on top of the thought we had earlier and the conversation we continue to have about – making it work out with Penny is the best thing for this program, although we're in a pretty foul predicament right now. I think on top of that, looking into the future, if there is a notice of allegations and punishments put upon this Memphis basketball program, after Penny Hardaway, if there is an after Penny Hardaway, which I hope there isn't, but I have to be real with myself right now. It's not looking good. It's not always greener. The grass is not always greener on the other side.
No.
And we've seen that on multiple occasions. After Cal, the end of the Pastner era, Tubby Smith, you always see that it could get worse. It absolutely could get worse than 20 wins a year. Even if you think that's not enough right now, it could get substantially worse.
Here's what I would say. You were only winning 20 games a year, but you didn't have any of this drama. Yeah.
Feel a little better.
Yeah, you feel a lot better because you're saying, okay, it hasn't worked out yet on the court, but at least, you know, he's still getting players. It's the chain. You can make excuses. But when there's just so much stuff happening off the court all of the time, it's all of the time. That's the thing. Whenever one cloud moves off, another one arrives. And that's what's been so exhausting about it, is that the moment that you feel like, the moment we felt like we could take a breath and say, hey, it's been pretty quiet this offseason. Hey. All of a sudden, 15 bombs went off behind
the
us.
The Arterio Morris recruitment was kind of an omen, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a warning shot.
That was like, hey, get ready. Just looking back at this offseason and how this has spiraled all out of control, it's just mind-blowing. Not surprising. Not surprising to me, but it's mind-blowing what I was thinking about 2 months ago with this program versus what I'm thinking about right now.
What I was thinking 2 weeks ago.
It's nuts.
It's exhausting.
It's nuts. Now, I have a little bit more good news and bad news when it comes to the University of Memphis.
Great.
So let's start with the good news.
Okay.
Right? Let's at least, like, you know, go from the Penny Hardaway good news, get into more bad news. Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium and the Liza Welford Fletcher Stadium, the funding is actually coming in really well. I saw $25 million worth of $50 million goal for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. And get this already. I mean, this was announced two weeks ago, $4.3 million of the $7 million goal been raised for soccer. So the women's soccer,
that's awesome.
And a lot of the track athletes, it looks like they're going to have their home sort of figured out funding-wise here in the next couple of months.
So deserved.
But here's the negative thing. Uh-oh. Here's the negative thing. Although, this is... I've seen a lot of people like just really go after this, even though it was the most predictable negative that you could have possibly imagined. Memphis expects to lose about $750,000 in season ticket revenue this season. Yeah, of course. There should be no doubt about that. I see a lot of people reacting to this, giving these visceral reactions like, look at football, oh my God. Well, they cut down the stadium by, they have 32,000 seats as opposed to 55.
Can we tell the truth time about why people are saying that?
Yes, because they're trying to insulate Penny. Yeah. And there's this weird dynamic going on with, I don't get why Ryan is getting gone after so much by people that love Penny, because Penny, I guess it's just look over here.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with we had talked about it yesterday. Hey, what Taylor Jenkins does has nothing to do with Penny Hardaway and Ryan Silverfield. What Ryan Silverfield does has nothing to do with Taylor Jenkins and Penny Hardaway. What Penny Hardaway does has nothing to do with Taylor Jenkins and Ryan Silverfield.
The Taylor Jenkins example that was brought up was it kind of made me laugh because we brought this up yesterday.
He's on the hot seat.
Yeah. It's like, realize what you're saying.
I'm a believer in Taylor Jenkins. I think he's a great basketball coach. But if that guy doesn't make it to the second round, he may not be here.
Yes.
So that's not the guy you want to compare him to.
Exactly.
Right?
Agreed. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we'll maybe talk a little bit more of this. But I do want to get to a crazy story out of the NFL. There is a content vice president for the Commanders who's been relieved of his duties. And I'll tell you why next. 92.9 FM ESPN. You'll read coming out of the NFL definitely surfaced this week. And it has to do with Washington Commanders vice president of content, Rael Antin. He was caught on video saying some relatively wild things about the NFL and the people that work within the NFL. He has now been fired by the Washington Commanders in response to what he said on camera. What did he say? Roger Goodell, he called him a $50 million puppet. He went on to say that over 50% of the roster for the Commanders is white religious and God says F the gays. That's another thing he said. He said that the low-income African-Americans that play for teams in the NFL are very inherently homophobic. He went on to say Jerry Jones is the guy who runs the NFL, and it's not Roger Goodell. And he said, I think he hates gay people and black people. He called what happened for the league's social justice movement amid the COVID crisis and everything else that happened, the social justice movement in 2020, he called it performative. And he said it's not done out of goodness of their heart. It's done because George Floyd changed the game. It's to make as much money as possible. The NFL cares about the bottom line like any corporation above all else. He talked about DEI hires, and he called, this is the other thing, this did offend me a tad bit, you know. I mean, at least most of the listening audience should be offended by this. He called you, the fans, high school educated alcoholics and mouth breathers. Come on, dude. Damn, why you gotta do that? why you gotta come after us? What'd we do? We didn't do anything to you. But either way, he's been fired for everything he said on camera that was published by O'Keefe Media. Now, I am not going to go out of my way to defend anything he said. Although I do believe some of it has a ring of truth to it, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and back up everything. A lot of it is just egregious and downright dangerous rhetoric. But how he got caught saying this really rubbed me the wrong way, Connor. I don't know about you. O'Keefe Media is known for undercover stories. And Rael Antin was just the next victim in line. The way that they got him to say these things on camera is a journalist from O'Keefe Media decided to match with him on the dating app Hinge. And when she matched with him, she reached out to him and said, let's go on a date. And she wore a spy camera tucked in her shirt to catch him saying all of these things to ultimately lead to his firing. Now, again, I'm not going to defend anything he had to say. But one thing I hope we can all admit, although it's legal, what they did, this is low down and dirty to do to someone. He thought he was going for a date, and then in the end of the day, he lost his job because of the things he said on said date. I'm, again, not sitting here saying Rael Antin was good intentioned in any way, shape, or form with the things he said. And he's a dummy for saying all those things on a first date. That's not usually first date conversation. But in the end of the day, I think O'Keefe Media, so we need to take a look at these things and decide what we think about that particular media source. I think it is dirty and gross what they did to Rael and Teen in the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree with that. One of my first thoughts was, this was your topic of conversation the first date?
Exactly.
You're a bit aggressive, especially the language that you're using.
But here's the other part of it that I did think. On the other side of that, I bet that there was a little bit of poking and prodding his date, saying,
Tell
me about the NFL and what you deal with on a daily basis. What are the players like? Who really runs the NFL? I bet there was some poking and prodding by said journalist
100%.
Who ended up getting this video. I got to be honest with you. After seeing this, I think there needs to be a change to a little bit of law. He didn't sign off on having that.
Isn't it state by state?
It's state by state, and I guess it's legal in D.C. I don't know. But
it must be.
There needs to be some type of oversight for something like this. Rael and Teen, after being caught, sure, he deserves to be fired. But at the end of the day, this is an avoidable situation, and I think it is wrong how this was captured. These are things he would not say in a normal normal work environment, I wouldn't imagine. But when he let his guard down, matched with a hinge date who he thought was going to be potentially leading to another date. I mean, the guy just wanted to have a date. He wanted to have a dating life. He wanted to be around a woman, and she completely stabbed him in the back. And look at where he's at now, without a freaking job. He is no longer the VP of content for the Washington Commanders. This one kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I can say that much. You let your guard down in situations like that. He let it down a little bit too much. But in the end of the day, to see a guy fired and lose his entire work life, like what he has been able to accomplish getting to that position, that's hard to watch.
Yeah, and I can confirm D.C. is a one-party consent district. You don't need the permission of anyone else to record conversations that you are a part of.
Well, damn. What about Tennessee?
I don't know.
I don't think I'd be saying those things if I was out to dinner with friends, but at the same time, you got to be careful.
Those comments are things that you say to very close people that you know aren't going to repeat them. Yeah, not a first date. I will say, we may know why he is on a first date, but if that is the type of conversation with women every single time he goes on a date, but if I had to guess, there were probably some questions that were cut out of said video that led him to saying those things. By the way, consent is not required to record conversation in public where there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in Tennessee.
Okay. All right. Now you know.
Now you know.
I don't think I'll run into any situations like this.
But I don't think so.
Just in case, maybe know the law. Need to know the law. But just a wild situation that kind of blew me away, quite frankly. Now, we do have the Chiefs versus the Ravens tonight to open up the NFL season to distract us from the nonsense we're seeing here at the University of Memphis with the basketball program. And right now, if you go and check on FanDuel, it looks like the Chiefs are 3-point favorites at home. It'll be on NBC, Ravens visiting them. One thing that will be working against the Chiefs in regards to the guys that Patrick Mahomes can throw to, Hollywood Brown is ruled out for this game. It looks like he will return at some point. But in the end of the day, I love the Chiefs this year. That's going to be my pick to win the Super Bowl. We'll get to that as we get into the trip around the NFL. But one thing I'm keeping a very close eye on is Lamar Jackson, now that he's got Derrick Henry in his corner. I want to see how that offense operates. They still don't have great receivers. They still don't have the weapons he needs on the outside. But they have tried to rebuild that O-line with younger guys. Derrick Henry is almost every year copy and paste 1,000-yard rusher. Last time that Lamar Jackson had a 1,000-yard rusher, he won the MVP in 2019 and had the high in passing touchdowns in the entire NFL. I want to see how this dynamic works early in the season. And also, on the other side, I want to see if the Chiefs' defense can really buckle down like they did a year ago. You still have a lot of the same pieces. Trent McDuffie, you have Chris Jones, you have some really good players on that side of the ball. Can they still be a top 3 to top 5 defense that basically carried them into the Super Bowl last season?
That's why, you know, when you weren't here, Sparky and I were talking about the AFC and the three teams that we landed on that could potentially take down the Kansas City Chiefs were the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Texans. Do you still think that to be true? Or do you think that the Ravens are one of the teams that actually has a shot at the Chiefs by the time we get to the playoffs? Or are there just too many question marks?
I think in the AFC, there's a few teams that I think could really challenge them. I think it's the Ravens, the Texans, and I'm still not going to count them out, even though I'm very close to counting them out. I think the Bengals can really push them to get there. Now, the Bengals, I'm kind of in and out on. I want to see what they look like in the early season. Can Ja'Marr Chase stay healthy after not playing an entire camp and basically getting ready for week one right this second? But I think the Bengals are in there. In the NFC, I think there's a few realistic options that could go win a Super Bowl. I think the Lions are in there. I think the Rams are in there, believe it or not. 49ers are certainly in there as well. And I think there's a couple that we can see, you know, potentially come along. I want to pay attention to the Eagles. I'm just scared with how they ended their season last year. And also, there is a little internal strife with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And don't count out the fact that Jason Kelce is no longer that center anymore. This was a guy who really took care of all the protection, slid the offensive line wherever they needed to be at all points. Now Jalen Hurts has to take that on himself. That's another thing added to his plate. Now, I understand Jalen Hurts, he usually goes into the offseason, adds something else to his bag, and it's usually smooth sailing. But having to read the defense, figure out where the blitzes are going to come from, that's going to be a little more tough for Jalen Hurts, and that's something he's going to have to add. He's got more responsibility, and we're going to have to pay attention to that. A team like the Packers, let's wait and see. But I think there's really three there at the top, and I think you look at the Lions, you look at the 49ers, and I think the Rams really could have a very good year. Although I'm still perplexed by the fact that they traded their middle linebacker with 145 tackles, Ernest Jones, the Titans. Still don't get
it. So basically, you think the true threats to the Chiefs, they wouldn't see until Super Bowl time. Be coming out of the NFC, mostly.
Yes. I think I'm there. But we need to let's pay attention to the AFC. Let's see what the Ravens and Bengals get done.
What have you made of the Packers becoming the preseason darlings for everybody? It seems like they have become like almost the thunder of the NFL. Like, everybody's like, this is the team. This is the next team. They had success last year, but everybody is so high on their receiving core. Everybody is so high on Jordan Love, and they are saying this is the team that might be able to make it to the prom. Like, I have seen multiple people say it is going to be the Packers and Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Well, the Packers have Jordan Love, and you just paid him a whole lot of money. He had 32-11 TD to interception ratio, and he was top five in passing yards. You feel like he can do that again. He has the exact same wide receiver core. Now, I'll say about this wide receiver core, I think it's better than it looks like on paper, if that makes sense. Jaden Reed going into year two, I think, will be a whole lot better. Romeo Dubs is going to be solid. Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, if he can stay healthy, I think can be one of their lead receivers. But it's something you have to watch. I think they're a lot better than they actually look like on paper. But I think something that's absolutely going to help them heading into this year, Aaron Jones, and I know A.J. Dillon is going to be on the IR for the whole year. He's got a neck issue. But Aaron Jones was not consistent enough, and he didn't stay on the field enough last year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pretty consistent running back who, I mean, he gets injured sometimes, but not all that much. I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a big year for them.
Seems
he can catch
like
a ball out of the backfield. He can get in between the tackles. He can run off tackle. He's got breakaway speed. I think that Josh Jacobs is one of the under-talked about running backs when we talk about changing, you know, scenery. Saquon Barkley certainly is the one that we're touting right now. Going to the Eagles, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be unbelievable. And Nick Sirianni was caught at practice the other day. Basically, you know, Saquon broke a big run for like 60 yards. He said, this is awesome. So Saquon's the one we talk about the most. But when we talk about Josh Jacobs getting into this offense with all that it could entail for him, the checkdowns, the running in between the tackles, I think he could have a massive year. He could be, I mean, this is a guy 2 years removed from being the leader in all-purpose yards in the NFL. I think we could have a similar year getting close to those statistics.
That's exactly what I was about to say, and he's behind the Green Bay Packers line now and not the Raiders.
That helps.
Certainly.
That really helps.
Certainly helps.
Yeah. But tonight's game, how are we going to pick this one? I'm very... I'm a little bit split. I think I'm going to lean to the Ravens plus the 3 or 3.5, depending on where you get it at the books.
That's such a difficult line.
But I think the Ravens are going to be hungry this year, and Lamar is going to come out with a point to prove after his MVP season. That's where I'm at. And I still think defensively they're going to be pretty solid.
It's at the Chiefs?
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you see Chiefsaholic? Chiefsaholic got 17 and a half years. 17 and a half years.
Holy crap, man.
Well, he deserved it.
Yeah, I know. Just still.
Every bit of
17
it.
Years.
Armed robbery and the whole thing. Going after the banks and everything. Yeah, he deserves it. But where are you leaning on this game tonight?
I think the Ravens. I think I would go Ravens plus 3, 3.5. But I kind of think the Chiefs are going to win.
So you think it'll be a very close game down
the
wire?
I do think it'll be a close game. I think both defenses are really good.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Chiefs are in a more... The Ravens always tend to have a good defense under since.
Do you want to know what just happened? Truly,
but here's the other thing about Chiefs: I believe they'll be a top five defense, but I think they're in more of a prove it season than they have been in the past. No more Legarius Sneed. That's going to hurt your defensive backfield at least a tad bit. No Trent McDuffie's and all.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know. All your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pro-type guy, and he could definitely pick up the pieces there. But I want to see if they can prove it again this year that they're going to be one of the best defenses.
Did you hear what just happened to me? What? I wanted to pick the Ravens, but I couldn't. I was too scared. Yeah. I was too scared. I got cold feet.
Well,
I want to pick the Ravens, but just everything. I just at home. I just feel like the Chiefs are going to come out, and that defense is going to be there. It's going to be a really
Chiefs
good
lost
football
the Lions
game.
At home game one last year.
That is true, but it was a close game.
It was a close game.
It was a close game.
Was it 27-24 or something like that?
It was awesome. Yeah. All I remember is it just was awesome.
I hope tonight we can live up to that standard. That's absolutely what I hope. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get 3 weeks worth of a free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to download America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will automatically be charged seasonally after your free trial. There is no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes do apply. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Let's go ahead and bring on Jeff Calkins. We have to talk about four coaches being fired, an anonymously sourced letter that has been sent to the NCAA. You know about it. We talked about it. Now we're going to talk with Jeff Calkins about it next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.